You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Starting the show off tonight with some sad news. Craig Sager, the famed sideline reporter, died after a long bout with leukemia. It's real sad for everybody in the NBA community. Anybody who knew Sager seemed to like him. Anybody who didn't know Sager seemed to like him. I think that's a real special thing that he could connect with so many people in so many different ways, directly and indirectly. The Pistons weren't really good enough to host a lot of nationally televised games, to be involved in those big games where Craig Sager would be there. That's one of the signs that it was a little higher of stakes when Craig Sager was in the building. But the Pistons didn't have many of those in recent years, so I don't really have many firsthand experiences with him. But I did have one. I covered the draft when the Pistons drafted Andre Drummond, and the draft picks went around to a circuit of interviews. And one of the interviews was in this back room one-on-one with Craig Sager. And because the only thing I was doing was Piston stuff, I was going around with Andre Drummond trying to get in some questions in between each interview station, and basically just snuck in with him, looked like I knew what I was doing, and made my way into that back room with Drummond and Sager. And so I was just watching them chit-chat a little bit before the interview started, and Sager pointed at his shoes. And so Sager is wearing this pink jacket, outlandish thing. I mean, you've seen the outfits he's worn. This one would fit right in. It looked like something he would wear. And he had these shoes on that I wouldn't have looked twice at. This pink jacket is just blinding. But he points out at his shoes and he asks Drummond if he had ever seen anything like those. They're made of ostrich. And Drummond just gasped, like, ostrich. He couldn't believe it. He thought it was so cool. And I thought that was just a nice, cool moment. Because here you have Andre Drummond, a teenager still, grew up in Connecticut, went to college at UConn. He was right down the street in New Jersey, where a lot of the media is the same as UConn media. This was his neighborhood. I had to fight in to get some Pistons questions in because there were so many UConn reporters there, because this was his home turf. He hadn't really been around the block. He hadn't been everywhere. And here's Craig Sager, who is just so worldly, pointing out these ostrich shoes and just connecting with Drummond. It was just a moment, just a few seconds. But Sager knew how to put Drummond at ease and connect with him. I think that's one of the challenges we have as reporters, is connecting with these players who are millionaires. And for the most part, we are not. And it means we live very different lives. We run in different circles. We go different places. And yes, there are still shared experiences from being involved in the NBA and just being human beings. But there can be a bridge to cross, something that divides us because of money. And, Craig Sager has had a lot of success in the business and done very well for himself, all deserved. But he always had this way of connecting with these players and with other people too who weren't millionaires, but just, and not that Drummond was at this point, and so it was a little bit of a different bridge, but no matter who it was, like, he could connect with these players who've been hardened by the media landscape, who've been removed thanks to all their money from the conventional day-to-day life that a lot of us live. And Craig Sager could break down any of those doors in just a moment, pointing out his shoes. And it's just because he was so worldly. He had so many experiences. He could relate to anybody. And it's a real special thing about him. Of course, the most famous example of him relating to somebody as it relates to the Pistons was Dennis Rodman. The story goes, and I don't know exactly how much of this is myth, how much of this is truth, but the story goes that Craig Sager talked Dennis Rodman out of committing suicide. When the Pistons got rid of Chuck Daly, Dennis Rodman was devastated. He had viewed Chuck Daly as like a father figure to him. The Bad Boys were breaking up. It was a lot of change. And Dennis Rodman had a very difficult life growing up, and he was not equipped to handle this change, didn't handle it well. There are different parts of of the Dennis Rodman story that involved him being at the Palace parking lot with a shotgun. You know, he says he was just messing around. A lot of people think that he was ready to kill himself. And there was a point in this period where Craig Sager ran into Dennis Rodman or tracked him down or whatever have you at a Detroit strip club and talked him out of it and connected to Rodman. And I think Sager is connected to all of us, maybe not in such significant ways. But anybody who's watched him on TV, I think, has enjoyed him, has enjoyed the outfits, and enjoyed his life. And I don't know if there's a better thing to say about him. Changing gears to the collective bargaining agreement, the union and the league came to terms on a deal last night. It still needs to be approved by both sides, by the players and owners. I'd be shocked if that doesn't happen. I would think that the NBA, the people negotiating at the bargaining table for the NBA, led by Adam Silver, they know what the owners want. I would think Michelle Roberts and the rest of the players' union representatives understand what the players want. And so I'd be shocked if they agreed to a deal that either side won't ratify. It seemed like this process was pretty productive all along. I would be shocked if it gets derailed here. So I think the CBA that's on paper, now that's the CBA we're going to get starting next year. We've talked already on the show about a lot of the details that have already emerged. You can check back for the previous episode to get more on that. I want to stick today to the new details that have emerged. Yesterday, we got a flood of new details and how they apply to the Pistons. I don't think this is going to have a huge impact on Detroit, the new information, but the one that ties the most directly is going to be a higher max salary relative to the salary cap for max players. I'm sure a lot of you who are well-versed in the salary cap know that the max is split into three tiers based on age, on experience level. If you have 0 to 6 years of experience, the max is 25% of the salary cap. If you have 7 to 9 years experience, it's 30%. 10 plus years, it's 35%. What is often lost, though, is that's not a true 25, 30, 35%. It's a percentage of a slightly altered salary cap based on an old formula for the salary cap. Needlessly complicated, definitely something that a lawyer came up with, but that's gone. The result of this was, by the way, that the max for somebody with 0 to 6 years experience would be slightly less than 25% of the actual salary cap. Now it's just going to be 25% of the salary cap, period. No more messing around with anything about an altered cap calculation, making it more complicated. So max players are going to get relatively more, a higher percentage of the actual salary cap. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, probably going to be a max player next summer, especially with the other change we talked about where restricted free agents will be able to sign offer sheets on July 1st. Still struggling to see exactly how that's going to work. I think there's a lot more about that process we don't know, but based on what we know, what we've heard, what's been reported, it seems like they're going to be able to sign offer sheets on July 1st. And so I would think Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, that only makes him more likely to get the max. It's probably going to end up costing the Pistons, because of this max salary calculation change, a little bit more than they expected. There's also a clause, and I'm really curious on more details on this, because the taste of it we have is very interesting. This is one of the biggest, most significant changes in the agreement, is going to be a designated player extension possibility for veterans, whether that can offer them more money or a longer contract or some combination of both is unclear. Some of this is, I think, getting lost a little bit in the game of telephone. Don't think it's a big deal for the Pistons at the moment. They've got everybody locked up. But if anything, it just shows how shrewd they were to get the core in place before this happens, because this is going to keep good players off the free agent market, which means I think we're going to get to a point where maybe what it looked like, I don't know, 10 to 15 years ago, where it was quite common to bid too much on free agents. We sort of hit a small period here where, because the salary cap was escalating so quickly, it was very hard to sign a player to a bad contract, although the Pistons sure did that a few times. But it was more difficult, especially because contract lengths were also shortened. You couldn't sign somebody long-term and get stuck with him and have that be a burden. when the max you could sign an outside free agent to was 4 years. Before that used to be six. So that made it harder to sign bad contracts. But now I think it's going to be much easier to sign good players to this designated player extension. We'll see exactly who can qualify for that. Maybe that's something that would make sense for Marcus Morris or Tobias Harris down the road, probably Andre Drummond down the road. But we need to learn more, and there might be some qualifications for certain aspects of that, for all aspects of it, where you have to, like the rookie scale designated player exception, where you have to make an all-NBA team or be voted an all-star starter or some type of other award or something like that. And then the other note on the changes major that we learned about that we didn't know already is the salary cap exceptions, the mid-level exception, the rookie exception, the minimum player exception. Those are all going to be tied to the salary cap. They're going to be a percentage of the salary cap, which isn't so much good news for the Pistons, although it is a little. It's much more good news for common sense. In the previous collective bargaining agreement, all of those amounts were set in 2011 when the deal was signed for the life of the agreement. And so it'd be, you know, here's the minimum salary for a player with this many years of experience in 2011, in 2012, in 2013. It'd be spelled out all the way throughout the agreement. Now it's going to be a percentage of the cap. So if the cap goes way up, more than anybody expected, all of those exceptions will reflect it, and the system will work as intended. Same if the cap goes down more than expected. So there's wiggle room. This is probably not a big deal for any team, because even if they had kept preset amounts, they would have fixed them. These national TV contracts came in and really screwed up the whole system. But with the new CBA, even if you put in new preset amounts, the preset amounts would have appeared to make sense right now. Maybe they wouldn't make sense in 5 years when the CBA is 5 years old, but I doubt it. This was sort of a once-in-a-lifetime thing where the national TV revenue just boomed and everything changed on a dime so quickly. I don't expect that to change anything that catastrophic in any direction under the next CBA. So it probably doesn't matter, but as a team that's likely to be over the cap for the foreseeable future, it is good for the Pistons to know how those exceptions work and know they're going to be tied to the salary cap, and the Pistons aren't going to be stuck with lower exceptions and be in a bind. The next step is ratifying the collective bargaining agreement. I think that's going to be a lot done on the team level of rallying the union support behind it. The Pistons union rep was Anthony Tolliver. Late in the year, he said he was trying to hand things off to Andre Drummond because Tolliver is also a vice president in the union. And so not to have those dual roles, and obviously Andre Drummond seemed like somebody who's going to be around for the long term, a big piece of the Pistons, making the most money on the team. He was the natural choice to take on that role. The union's website does not list a player representative for the Pistons, but Anthony Tolliver obviously moved on to the Kings. We know it's not him. And so I would assume it's Andre Drummond, and now it'll be up to Drummond to rally support for this deal or maybe show opposition, but inform the Pistons through the union and get everybody on board with what's happening, whether they agree with it or not, so they can make an informed decision in their vote. The Pistons did beat the Mavericks last night, and probably for the least consequential news of this podcast, the Mavericks are terrible, but the Pistons fell behind big. The Pistons had six turnovers on their first 10 possessions. When they shot, they missed a lot. But the nice thing about a game where both teams missed a lot of shots is when you have Andre Drummond, he's going to get a lot of rebounds. So that was good for the Pistons. The bench came up big, John Luer especially. And that bodes well for the Wizards tomorrow night. We're going to do more to look ahead to that Washington game and look back a little bit more depth on this Dallas game, because I do think there were a couple lessons from this Dallas game that will be directly applied against the Wizards. You can check that out tomorrow. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Thanks for listening.
Napa Know How. It It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.